This is KW Magazine on FM 98.5 CKWR. Red wine, green tea, all natural supplements. We have heard the general consensus that it seems to be that they're very good for you, and they in fact help you to stay healthy. But have their merits been proven? According to my next guest, that is a big question mark. We're joined on the telephone by Professor Gagik Malikian. He's a chemistry professor at Cal State Northridge and is the author of Guilty Until Proven Innocent, Antioxidants, Foods, Supplements, and Cosmetics. And Professor Malikian joins us on the telephone. Good evening.
Good evening.
Appreciate you chatting with us. To be honest, I was surprised when I did a little bit of research and on your work and found that that you know some of the research that you've done, in fact, points just in the opposite direction in terms of the benefits of antioxidants.
This is true, John. First of all, it's a great pleasure to be on your program, and thank you for inviting me. It's my concern is that the general public listen only one side of the story. And the information which is provided is not a balanced view on the very controversial subject. This is why I decided to write this book, to provide with the opposite side of information, so that by the time when people have to decide what to do, so they will can make an informed decision.
So is there a Jekyll and Hyde aspect, if you will, to antioxidants?
Well, this is the thing. This is the very nature of phenolic compounds, and I call them Trojan horses because under standard conditions in the test tube, they behave as antioxidant, but at the same time, there are a number of type of reactions that they can undergo inside the body that potentially they can convert them into carcinogenic compounds. And the best example for this is a female hormone, which is actually absolutely natural, and it's also coming from the human body. It's shown to undergo that specific type of oxidation I was referring to and to convert to now known and proven carcinogenic compound.
What then, Professor, determines or, if you will, turns the switch on these phenols to take something that, as you say, is in a test tube, in a laboratory scenario, is something that's good for us, yet once ingested in our bodies can turn into these Trojan horses and be something very harmful?
Polyphenolic compounds, they give the positive test in the test tubes, because this is the very nature of polyphenolic compounds. The very fact that they are phenolic, it makes them inherently kind of positive in those tests, because the some most common type of test is measuring their the redox, what is called an ability, how to reduce certain metal ions. But what happens after that, the current paradigm is, based on those results, people are advised to take these phenolic compounds coming from plants, for example. Usually these are the mixtures of compounds as antioxidants. My main concern is that whatever we know about these phenolic compounds, what kind of reactions can occur inside the body, this is the main problem.
Mm-hmm. Specifically, when it comes to one of those ingredients which we have heard an awful lot about in terms of the antioxidant benefits, specifically red wine, what concerns you about the antioxidants in red wine?
Red wine is these days is well known, let me put it this way, because of resveratrol, because resveratrol has become, during the last several years, a household name. And the reason for this is that it is advertised by the popular TV hosts, by doctors, in particular by Dr. Oz and also by Susan Summers. You know what the star power is, and you know that it's part of our culture that people trust what they usually see on TV screen, especially it's coming from the popular TV personalities, especially it's coming from doctors. It's understandable. Mm-hmm. But my concern is that it is not a balanced representation. Both Dr. Oz and Susan Summers, they present only the positive things which is known about resveratrol, advising them to take the resveratrol pills, which can contain the amount of resveratrol equivalent to 1,000 glasses of wine. And in different print media, and also on TV and radio channels, you can see the resveratrol is advertised as number one miracle pill, and people are promised to live 115 years of life. I will challenge both Dr. Oz and Susan Summers on your program to invite me to their programs so that the audience and general public will have a chance to hear the whole truth about resveratrol.
Mm-hmm. I had an earlier conversation on the show with the Honorable Nancy Harvey Storz, who's the former chair of the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission, on the recent finding by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration of lead in lipstick. Does that surprise you that they found so many brand names of lipstick with lead, different levels of lead in it?
During the last several years, I have been involved in consumer protection advocacy as an expert, and I have been presenting certain consumer groups in the courtroom. And what is happening with lead is, from my point of view, is absolutely unacceptable. Government is not doing his job to protect the American public. FDA is not doing its job to protect American public. Let me give you just two examples. That many products which are coming from the outside the country, in particular from China and other developing countries, is loaded with lead, different amounts. But the amount doesn't matter because lead is one of the worst poisons. By the way, it's a natural element that we know. And this is not just a one-time exposure. The bad feature of lead is that it goes inside the body, accumulates in different organs, from the brain all the way to the main organs, all the way to the bones, and stays there for decades. One thing is obvious. Lead should be banned from any kind of consumer products. And when we hear that, we allow even in the lipstick, this is something which is not now just an absorption that we refer to when we have some topical applications or some patches or sunscreen lotions. In this case, we are talking about lips. So this is an ingestion. And I find it completely unacceptable by the FDA official to say that we consider this to be topical application, so we should consider only an absorption through the skin and not an ingestion through mouth. What happens to the lip skin? I think that your audience realizes that when you apply lipstick, what happens a couple of hours later? It's gone. Mm-hmm. Did it evaporate? No, it's inside the body. And we are talking very significant amount. We are talking systematic exposure. And the bad news is that this lipstick, which is listed in the FDA study, is not coming from some unknown companies. We are talking L'Oreal, Revlon, CoverGirl from Procter & Gamble, Maybelline. In conclusion, I have to say that the government has to step up to the plate and protect the American public, finally. It's not doing this. This is one of the reasons I decided to write this book, because it is not only about green tea and red wine. It's about hair color, about plastic wear, about natural supplements, about cosmetics, about sunscreens, and about many, many other compounds, formulations that our bodies are exposed to on a daily basis.
Many of those compounds, as you've alluded to, are manufactured compounds, but many of them are natural. And you know, it's interesting that, and I'm curious whether you feel that we, as a general public, have in fact become obsessed with this whole concept of natural ingredients and naturalness, and to a large extent, as a result of public awareness campaigns.
You used absolutely correct word. Public is, in fact, obsessed with the word natural. And they are completely misled, completely disoriented by this relentless advertising of everything natural. And the word natural, a couple of other buzzwords, like the word tea, they become just convenient market tools. If it's natural, then people are buying because they believe that this is inherently benign and beneficial. In my book, the separate chapter is about natural, to explain that natural compounds are not inherently beneficial. Many of them are detrimental to the human body. Many of them are present in the list of carcinogens, which is compiled by the International Agency for Research of Cancer. So we should be careful and should be aware of natural compounds, exactly the same way that we are aware or we are careful about compounds which are synthesized in the chemical laboratory.
It's a fascinating subject and a scary one at that, Professor Malikian. We appreciate your time. I assume your book is available on Amazon?
The book is available on Amazon, and the readers and the listeners can easily find it just going to Amazon under books, typing Guilty Until Proven Innocent. This is one of the first hits. They can also easily go to Google and just type Guilty Antioxidant. And, John, interesting thing is that if you go to Google and type Guilty Antioxidant, among close to 5 million hits, the first hit is the reference to my book. This shows that how unique this combination is, Guilty Antioxidant, because the rest of the references, they are praising antioxidants. And this is the only reference when readers can learn the whole truth about antioxidants, which is, and after that they can make an informed decision. I am not telling them what to do. As a scientist, this is my duty to share my expertise and knowledge. After that, they can make an informed decision.
Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
John, thank you very much. It was a real pleasure, and thank you for inviting me.
All the best to you. Have a wonderful evening.
You too.
Good night.
Bye.
Professor Gagik Malikian is a chemistry professor at Cal State Northridge and the author of Guilty Until Proven Innocent.